This episode of Says Who is brought to you by you through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com/says who. Our Patreon, where pretty much most every Sunday you get this all over again. You get me and Maureen doing a little thing we call the Town Watch. That's a 30-minute version of Says Who. It's a little looser. It's a little more off the cuff, if you can fathom that. That is for people that give at the $5 or $10 a month level. That $10 a month level also gets you a sticker in the mail because you become a member of the Says Who Sticker Club. That's right. We send you a really great sticker every month if you give at that level. I make them myself. And I pack them up and I send them to you every month. Anyway, that's at patreon.com/says who.
Guys, I write books, but you know what? Could you just all do me a favor? I'm asking you a big favor, you guys. This is a big favor from me to you to me. Are you on Instagram? Can you follow me at Maureen Johnson Books? Because I got to put everything there now. Because everything else is she explode. I got so much to do, but it'd be a big help if you did books. I'm editing them.
You're nailing it. Perfect. Did great. If you want to buy Maureen's books, you can always go to your local bookshop, or you can go to kickbezosintheballs.org. That's our own little bookshop. There's a pre-order right there for Maureen's next book, Morning at Death House.
How dare you?
Just
it's
click right
death
on
at
it.
Morning. You know it's Death at Morning House.
I want it to be Morning at Death House, though.
It's not, though.
Could that be the sequel?
Sure.
Yes. Great.
That's all you needed to do was ask.
Okay, perfect. Anyway, you can get that, Death and Morning House, over there at kickbezosintheballs.org. That is, you can get the pre-order for it. It's not coming out till when? August?
August 6th.
Is that when it comes out? August 6th.
And save your receipts, USA
save
people.
It.
I mean, that's just like your receipts, like probably just like an email.
Yeah, that's typically what a receipt is nowadays.
Because then you get a thing, maybe in the future.
I had to get a receipt, Maureen, for our furnace that we had to replace the day before Christmas. Because I can get a little bit of a rebate on my taxes for it. And I realized I didn't have a receipt. This is for like a $4,000 purchase. And so I call them and they're like, oh, yeah, you gotta talk to the accounting guy. Here's his email. Not like, let me connect you to him. So then I send him an email and then I get a voicemail from him where he's like, okay, I got your request. I'm going to email you the receipts. I'm like, why the fuck did you call me? And then finally, 45 minutes later, I get the receipt in an email.
You know, in the past, it was all little pieces of paper. And if you like a breeze came or something, it was gone. Poof.
Yeah. You know, one of my favorite oldie time office implements is
one of the
little
spike. I knew it.
Yeah.
So they used to have like, I never personally saw one of these, but it was some kind of, I guess I did probably somewhere because maybe they have them at like pizza places still.
Yeah.
It's just like a spike that when you've fulfilled an order, you just go thunk and you impale it. I have seen that at like counters and like, you know,
when
kitchens.
I was in college, I worked in the office of a landscaping company and the guys would come in from like the, you know, doing estimates and stuff like that. And they would smack their stuff down on a spike.
How did it not just go through your hand every time?
Well, you don't hold it on the palm of your hand and then smack it in. You just, you put hands on either side of the piece of paper and guide it down.
I guaranteed you people impaled themselves.
Oh, I'm sure people impaled themselves. Absolutely. But boy, that's the way. Then a breeze doesn't come in. Anyway, point being, save your receipt. If you want to put it on a spike, put it on a spike. Print it out, put it on a spike.
That's right. That's us. Analog is fun. Imagine if we could just go back and we could just ditch all this stuff. And then if you lose them, you don't have to think about it again.
It's true. You're never getting that shit back.
It's gone. So you don't have to. You'll be like, you're like, look, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Kick Bezos in the balls.org. And if you're buying things on the internet, go to merch.sayswhopodcast.com where we have Says Who merchandise. And you can also go to shop.dansinker.com where I sell patches. You can buy some patches. Anyway, that's the internet for you.
Ah, the delight of a handwritten receipt on like a little pink pad with lines on it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, let's go back. When we have the commune, we're just going to keep paper receipts around.
Audio cassettes.
That's what it would be like. Look, you, do you want some lentils? Here's your receipt for your lentils. From the lentil storeroom that I'll be in charge of. I'm in charge of lentils.
Okay.
I'm the lentil princess. I'm the queen of those. I'm the lentil princess. Thrown between your toes. Do you want any beans? I run those. Do you want any legumes? Same thing. Do you want any lentils? You gotta come to me. I'm the lentil princess. If you want protein, you gotta talk to the lentil princess. That's me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I just want you to, I wanted you to keep going.
I'm the lentil princess.
Oh. I just thought that could be the whole episode.
The I'm the lentil princess.
You could do 45 minutes of the lentil princess and I could just do a little dance as you went.
I can make a doll and I can make a soup. I can make a stir fry that's really just a soup. Welcome. Says Who.
The podcast that isn't a podcast.
It's a lentil. I'm Maureen Johnson.
And I am Dan Sinker. I had Indian food for lunch today, Maureen. I didn't have dal. I had a little mutter paneer on rice.
From a packet?
From a packet.
Packet. Packet Stan with his packets of lentils.
It's really revolutionary. I love it. It was good. It's a good time. It's a good time. We had kind of fallen out of our, and it's certainly not Friday, we had fallen out of our, Janice and I had fallen out of our Indian food Friday after one time doing it and just both of us being like, I'm asleep for the rest of the day now. But lately I've really had a taste for it. And so today I was like, I'm going to do it. Do you want some? She was like, no, I got to stay awake. And I did it and I didn't fall asleep.
That's great.
That's the whole story.
That's it.
That's the story.
Dan,
let me
tell you what has rocked
my house.
Okay.
Codename Meatball. Because we were out in Colorado last week, as those of you that listen. Both Maureen and I are back now at our respective homes. You are just back, which we will talk about in a moment.
About 20 minutes ago, yeah.
Like literally just back. But for whatever reason, so I order the stickers for the Sticker Club, as mentioned at the top of this episode, every month, stickers. And they are actually printed by a sticker company that by pure randomness is in Longmont, Colorado, which is a town that we stay at quite often when we go to see Janice's family. But the reason that I have always ordered from them is their turnaround is extremely fast. And so these new stickers, which I'm going to go grab one. Look at that. Look at that beauty.
I mean, he's amazing.
That. Yeah. So this is a Codename Meatball pizza that looks like a little pizza box top. Anyway, I ordered them so that they could be packed and shipped before we left. And that should have been totally normal. Like this place's turnaround is like you order it, they ship it the next day. And like UPS from Colorado to Chicago was very quick. And it was getting closer and closer to when we needed to leave. And I was like, I have not even received a thing saying they've made these, let alone shipped them. And so I wrote them and they were like, yeah, we're really overwhelmed right now, which I don't understand. But anyway, the point being, I had to quickly say, okay, I guess I'll pick them up and we'll ship them from Colorado. So I did that. But what that means is that's been sitting around. And the little one, Maureen, thinks the codename Meatball is about the funniest thing that has ever existed in his whole life.
Because codename Meatball, in addition, is something we came up with on a bonus episode about 2 weeks ago.
Yep.
And I don't remember how we got there.
I don't either.
I don't remember how we got to codename Meatball, but basically, he's a spy.
He's a spy.
But, like, probably not a real good one. Oh, I think I was telling you about spy shows I've seen where the spies got worse and worse, and then somehow it turned into codename Meatball.
Somehow. And his catchphrase, "Don't tell nobody I'm a spy," is printed right there on the box, right there. And the little one, Maureen, thinks that is about the funniest thing in the whole world. And so he will just walk around the house now in a very high-pitched voice going, "Don't tell nobody I'm a spy." He thinks it is the height of humor.
I would do a lot for a little audio of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
If you get a little audio, you should maybe, if you could just stick that in there. That would be, we all want it.
I don't think I'll have it for this episode because this will be edited and finished before he is back.
I'm going to get that. I'm going to make it a ringtone.
But he thinks it's hilarious. In fact, he hung one of the stickers up on his wall. That's how funny he thinks it is. And the best thing is he doesn't know any of the references. Like, he doesn't know what a spy thing is. He's never seen a pizza box with the, like, you know, because the other thing, so the drawing is essentially like the Italian chef on a pizza box that's normally doing the, like, mwah, chef's kiss. But instead of that, he's holding a little James Bondy looking gun. And then there's also a slice of pizza next to him.
I mean, Dan, why don't you just make everything for my life? Do you know how much easier that would make everything?
Oh, dude, literally, sign me up. I'll do it.
Dan, you know you don't have time for that.
I could do it, though.
Dan, you know you can't. We've discussed.
Maybe I could then do one last thing.
What? How does adding a thing make you do less?
Well, because then I could subtract a thing.
And then you'd still have the same amount of things.
Yeah, but then I don't have one more thing.
Okay. We'll talk about that when we get to therapy.
I think it makes perfect sense.
I also can't talk this week because I did it to myself, but I'm happy I did it.
What?
I've had a busy week.
You have had a busy week. She is not joking when she says she just walked in. I got a text from you last night.
My hair is still wet.
I need to push back recording. I'm going to, but only by a half an hour, I should be back in time.
Yep.
And in fact, you were, but just barely.
Just barely.
Your hair is wet because it is raining. Is that correct?
It's pouring, and it's been pouring for 2 days.
Beesh.
So here's what I'm going to say, I just want to put everyone at ease. I'm going to, this is a story about helping someone who's going through domestic violence, but it will not reference it again. Just that's what this was. I was helping someone who was experiencing that.
Yeah.
I was helping the battle because there was just a team of people trying to help out. And I was like, I'm jumping in the fray to help out. So I did. I spent 5 days full time doing this sort of unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Because it turns out, like, I'm just kind of good at paperwork.
Yeah.
And I will fight them on the emails. You know what I mean? Like, I will go. I'm like, I will show up. I will show up in your inbox. So I did everything from installing a security system to writing dossiers, going through audio and video files, creating documents. Again, nobody worry. I'm not going to discuss any details or anything. It's just imagine me just sitting there like, imagine me sitting there smoking 5 cigarettes at once for 10 hours writing and listening to horrible things, but then like muttering under my breath, like, I'm going to get you, motherfucker. I'm going to get you. And just embedding files, writing this legal brief, but also calling cops a lot. And let me just tell you, Dan.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, when does that guy come in? 6:30. Okay. Your phone's going to ring at 6:31, 6:45. 7:15, 7:30, 7:34, switch it up, 7:50. I'm just going to call you until you do something.
Yeah.
And it turns out if you do that,
Yeah.
You can get stuff done. You just have to be prepared to call everyone all the time.
Yeah.
It's not great. But
no.
I did it on someone else's behalf and I was like, cracked my knuckles. I was like, I will see you in 15 minutes. So yeah, stuff got done. But I felt also my parents. Okay, I don't know what the deal is with my parents anymore. We are off the charts anymore in terms of what they eat. But
okay.
My dad only eats like cookies and uh-huh. My mom tries to patch meals together with stuff, but he doesn't really eat stuff. So, and I eat all hippie food. So when I go down there, all I eat is like garbage.
Yeah.
Like truly, here's what I ate for 4 days. Chocolate donuts.
Okay.
Cookies.
Yeah.
Pound cake.
Mmm.
Peanut butter crackers.
Okay.
Cool Ranch Doritos.
Yeah.
And I think there was like popcorn in there somewhere. Like there was just nothing to eat. So I would just grab anything that looks
amazing.
I feel like death. Like I feel terrible. I'm all stressed out. I'm eating garbage all day long. Like, but the thing is, I got everything done that I needed to get done. We got a real satisfactory conclusion to this week's efforts.
Yeah.
So it was worth it, but I am a physical wreck.
You look it. You look like you've gone through it.
Do I?
Yeah, you do. You do look like you've gone through it.
So you're saying I look terrible.
No, you just look like you've gone through it.
Dan, I will say, I was telling my mom, I was like, yeah, my feet are stupid and ugly. She's like, you don't have ugly feet. I was like, I do. I have horrible feet. And then, you know, I know, remember, if you've frequent listeners will know, that I was all excited when the foot pervs posted pictures of my foot, gave me 3 stars and said, okay, feet. And I've been living on that ever since.
Did your mom admit that it was her?
Listen, my mom is not a foot perv.
No, but she just wanted to make you feel better. So she got a foot perv account
what she
to
said
say you
was,
had okay feet.
You know who has terrible feet is your aunt. Bleep. I'm not going to say that in case, you know, aunt. Because like, imagine my aunt bleep is listening to this and she's like, oh, now my feet are in this?
Yeah.
Now I got the bad feet.
She just caught some friendly fire in the foot.
I know. She's like, well, she has terrible feet. And I'm like, she's like, your feet are very nice. I'm like, they're not. They're horrible. No matter. All I have is the foot pervs. That's it.
I mean, that's a high bar, though. Let's face facts.
I know.
If they think it's okay, they're probably okay.
I know, because foot pervs are going to tell the truth about feet.
They see a lot of feet. You only have a handful of reference here.
It's true.
You're saying your feet are terrible. They see a lot of feet and they're saying they're okay.
This is
true. I'm
going
to trust the foot pervs.
Yeah, I guess I probably should.
Yeah, I think you can take that to the bank.
All right.
If you can't believe a foot perv's assessment of a foot, what then can you believe,
Maureen? Who are you going to trust?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, just got back. I just dumped all the stuff on the floor. It's been raining for 2 days. So let me just say, take it as a given that this dog is not going to poop today because she's back home.
Yeah.
She is going to get a bath. She doesn't know that yet.
Okay. Seems like
she doesn't know about the bath.
Just take her on a walk.
She has been out in fields. By the way,
slough some shampoo on her before you go out on a walk and done.
Not to brag, new dead snake dropped. Yeah, I got a new dead snake on the path. Possibly
two.
Possibly two. We couldn't tell if it was the same snake that had been moved.
Oh, okay.
Like by an animal.
You meant like it was, he couldn't tell if it had been ripped in two or if it was two snakes. Maybe the first time it wasn't dead. Maybe it was just playing dead.
Definitely dead. I think it's two snakes. Personally, I think it's two snakes.
All right. Okay.
And I picked this. So I showed Oscar the snake. I was like, new dead snake just dropped. And he's looking at it. And I kind of tapped it with my foot to make sure it was dead. And he's like, why are you kicking it? I'm like, I'm not. I'm just nudging it to see if it moved. Like, if it moved, I would kind of try to move it aside. And it didn't move because it's dead. And then I was like, I'm going to get it off the path. And he's like, and I'm like, let me get a stick. He's like, what do you need a stick for? I'm like, oh, you're upset that I'm touching the snake with my foot, but now you want me to just reach down. And once you know the snake's dead, touch that thing. By all means, grab it, put it in your mouth. Like, just get your hand, get all over that dead snake business. You know what I mean? Like, get that dead snake.
Okay.
So I picked it up with a stick and I moved it off the path.
All right. Seems like a very strong reaction to that moment there.
I just didn't understand when he was like, why are you kicking? I'm not kicking. And I'm just tapping it to see if it's dead. Okay. You can't say you have a new dead snake if it's not dead.
It's a good point.
Precisely. Oh, I feel like, oh, yesterday's Doritos. Oh, it's not good.
I do like a Cool Ranch Dorito, Maureen.
I mean, they are delicious.
They're amazing. Oh,
I don't buy that stuff, but my dad does nothing but buy that stuff. Like every kind of garbagey snack. And all we had at the house where we were doing the group effort was chocolate donuts. So I'm just, that's like, it was like,
I'm
that was
no what, downside to this whole food situation, TBQH.
Just the body situation, just the living of the body.
Sounds pretty great to me.
So, well, turns out, Dan, if you put your mind to it, you can just become a quick expert on anything. But we're back.
We're back.
Dexie's looking at me. She's going to bark because she has to poop, but she won't admit it.
Okay.
And she doesn't know this, but after this, we're going to walk all the way over to Staples and pick up a printed and bound copy of Death at Morning House, which I sent over to print to do the final edit, like the real, like every single last word and like final check. So
final edit of the book that I can go and pre-order right now.
Yes,
dude, you love to live that life.
I do. The people are reading on like Edelweiss and NetGalley right now.
So the book is essentially out, and you are now printing a galley to make edits on.
The teeniest, tiniest final corrections. That's always the way. Like they always put out the not uncorrected final.
Yeah.
You know.
I know how it works. I know what uncorrected proof is.
Just look, Dan. I don't know if you know anything about printing or documents or making things.
A little bit.
Ugh. I'm never going to eat Doritos again. I was just so hungry and they just looked so good.
So you have actually hit on the secret thing about Doritos, which is, I don't know that there's a food that after the fact that you eat with such delight. And then after the fact, it's like they have baked some level of regret in.
Mm. You can taste
because yeah, it's to me, especially with a Cool Ranch, it's that aftertaste that sits in your mouth. Like an hour later, you're like, right.
Yeah, that's what right. I did. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's that little tingle of sodium.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. But they taste good because they're so triangular, you know?
Oh, let me tell you, they, at a grocery store near me for a while, they had I don't know if it was limited or if we just got a batch of them and they've never shown up again, but they were a sweet chili Dorito.
Mm.
And my goodness, Maureen Johnson, I could have sat there and ate the whole bag in one sitting.
That's a flavor that pops up a lot in England, and it is something I will pick up every time, sweet chili flavor.
It was good as hell.
Listen, I will put a sweet chili or a hot sauce on anything.
Yeah, me too.
Anything.
Yep.
In fact, do you know that there are people that eat macaroni and cheese without hot sauce?
Yeah, they're called children.
Ugh, gross.
Yeah, that's what my child does.
Ugh, why would you do that when you could put hot sauce on it and live your truest life?
Yeah, it's true.
If you're going to eat it, you should put hot sauce on it.
Yes. Accurate. Also, people eat slices of pizza without a bunch of hot sauce on it. Don't know why.
I don't put hot sauce on pizza. That's because I'm from New York. And you're from Chicago where you have to eat that weird pie stuff.
We don't eat the weird pie stuff.
You just put garbage in Barry in the lead, Dan. I'm entering a new era.
Okay.
Someone got an air fryer.
From the air fryer house?
No, I bought one. I bought it.
Hold on.
Okay.
You have on multiple occasions referenced that the house attached to your parents' house is full of things that your father acquired at the casino.
Correct.
including so many air fryers that you colloquially refer to it
as the
air fryer house.
Yes.
And you just came back from there.
Yeah.
Having purchased an air fryer.
Correct. Because it's not just an air fryer. It's a countertop convection oven.
Okay.
Which is what we use for everything. We have we use our countertop convection oven 2 to 3 times a day.
Okay.
And ours was giving out. And I said, I'm going to buy a new one and upgrade it with the air fryer.
Okay.
Option. So it's a new countertop convection oven that has an air fryer option.
Okay.
It has a dehydrator.
Wow.
You can also proofing setting. So you can put like dough into proof. Yeah. You can control it with an app.
Sure.
So you can monitor the food and like lower or raise the temperature from an app.
Okay.
This thing is going to change my life.
Well, that'll do it. That's
Dan,
the thing.
Between this and a couple new notebooks.
Yep. Everything's
turning up, Maureen.
I love it.
In fact, Dan, that's why this episode is ending right here today, because everything is fixed.
I love it. Thank you for listening. This episode
is brought to you by you.
Breville
Air Filter. Wait.
It was made possible by you through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com.
There's notes. There's show notes.
Don't worry about that. Slash but says who.
We haven't been through any of them.
It's okay. We don't need to.
Dan, I think we do.
Our Patreon, where every Sunday you get all this.
Huh? Dan.
Yeah.
We got to do what's in this notes. We have to.
Do we? Nope. I mean, nobody listening is like, oh, they have to.
I think they do.
Really?
I don't think they came here just to hear about the air fryer.
I think they mostly show up for the air fryer content, TBQH. I don't know why I keep saying TBQH today. I don't know what that is.
Well, sorry, you got a skateboard and a backwards baseball cap there.
Yeah, just trying to relate to the kids a little better, Maureen.
Dan,
LOL.
The whole way up here in the car to relax myself because it had been intense, I was like, I'm going to treat myself to an hour and a half of cleaning TikTok. And I feel good.
Wait.
You
spend an hour and a half in a moving vehicle watching cleaning TikTok videos.
Why are you saying it like that?
Just wondering. Just wanted to clarify. Oh, you were not driving that vehicle.
Oh, no. I was a passenger.
Okay.
Dog taxi. But then I got so inspired.
Yeah.
So, okay. First of all, it wasn't just cleaning, to be clear. It was also furniture restoration. And I bought a cleaning steamer.
You bought a cleaning steamer.
Ordered a cleaning steamer.
Okay.
So I'm going to steam everything now.
Steam clean it?
So get in the crevices. Hot steam. Right.
And Can you also use it to straighten up clothing?
I have a clothing steamer.
Okay.
It's tiny.
Here's me. I had never used a clothing steamer, Maureen, until last fall. We all went to a wedding and they had a clothing steamer in the hotel room. And that was like a little magic thing.
Yeah, I have a tiny little portable one that if I have like a special occasion, I can throw that in the suitcase. It's teeny. Oh, yeah, you never need to iron again. You just, if you ever have to wear a dress or a gown for anything, a lot of times they'll stand you up and then they'll steam it while you're standing up so that it's all smoothie smooth. Yeah.
I was like, I feel like I'm living in the future.
No, they've been around a long time and they're pretty simple. But the hot steamer, it's like a gun with steam.
Okay. What do you clean with a steam gun?
Anything you want. Crevices.
Okay.
Because it shoots out hot steam, instead of using chemicals, it just basically melts the goop off. So corners, under things, like the slats between like, like an air conditioner or an vent, like back corners, behind pipes, window things that I can't reach. Otherwise, I can just kind of go and manage to actually clean my windows.
But it's not removing that stuff. It's just turning it into a slurry, right?
Yeah, that'll either that if you can't actually remove it, and it, you can get it off that way. I'm gonna clean the inside of a fan.
Okay.
I'm gonna do it all, Dan. All now right, that I have this steamer and this air fryer, I got a steamer, I got an air fryer, and I got all my notebooks. I can do anything.
You're set.
Dan, there's nothing I can do.
There's a very yellow thing off to your side, which is very distracting to me. What is that? Is that a case?
My keyboard. It's a keyboard case.
Oh, wow. Look at the inside.
Yeah, I wanted this to be the outside as well, but it's black on the outside. It looks like a flute case.
Yeah, I was very confused. It looked like some kind of case, but I couldn't imagine what was in it. But that is your keyboard case.
I slam it down. It's my tools. You think I'm going to pull it out and start playing a little jazz flute, but it's just a keyboard. And then that's my instrument. Joey, you play keyboard? This kind of keyboard. Yeah, I play keyboard. This kind of keyboard. And then I say, and I point to it. I go, I play this kind of keyboard. Ha-cha-cha-cha.
That seems like a sweet ass... like 1970s three-quarter sleeve iron-on. Just says, I play this kind of keyboard, and it's like a cool, chunky, clickety-clack keyboard.
Why don't we make that as merch? People would buy that.
We could.
Do you guys want that? We could make that. Make it real 70s style.
I mean, that's mostly what I do now.
Little ringer tea situation.
Yeah, little ringer tea. Do that.
Little ringer tea.
We could do a three-quarter, and we could do a ringer.
Dan?
Yes, Maureen Johnson.
We have to talk about news a little bit.
All right. We can talk about news. But
you just acquiesced. I mean,
it's fine.
You just gave up. You're like, yeah, whatever.
Well, I just remembered that we're talking about news. That's what this episode, that's what this show is about. This is our 327th episode. I typed that in today and I was like, that is a ridiculous number.
Dan, 8 episodes. I just want to point out 8.
Yeah. Yeah. But just that is a lot of things. That is a high number.
It is. It is. So I think we
very large number.
We're doing great.
We're not. But I will say, last week we talked about the World Central Kitchen. That is Chef Jose Andres' nonprofit that goes into war zones and places affected by natural disasters and all sorts of things and feeds people. We talked to them about them specifically in the context of their work in Gaza, where they were actually bringing food across the Mediterranean, docking it. This is not with any governmental supports.
Yeah.
They built a little jetty. They dock their boat there. They're distributing it out across Gaza, helping to stave off famine, which is almost certainly on its way.
Yeah.
And we talked about it as like, here's an actual organization doing positive things in a place that is fucking a living nightmare. And then last night, World Central Kitchen announces that 7 of its fucking aid workers had been killed by Israeli airstrikes. This happened in vehicles that were clearly marked with their logo on the goddamn roof. One of the photos, there's like a fucking hole in the roof right next to.
Yeah, basically through the logo.
Yeah, basically through the logo, which is like it's like a frying pan. And it's like the hole is just, they just missed the frying pan by 6 inches, like perfectly perforating that.
Yeah.
How did this happen? Well, Israeli news organization Haaretz reports that Israel suspected that an armed man that had been seen with the convoy was a terrorist. And so they fired 3 consecutive missiles at the multi-car convoy, even as aid workers in the vehicles tried to move cars and to send messages that they were being attacked. In the end, the armed man wasn't even in the convoy. He'd stayed back in the fucking food warehouse. And of course, he was not a terrorist. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said the strike was, quote, tragic and unintentional. But that, quote, these things happen in war.
This is so terrible that one hardly knows what to say.
Yeah. Except that I feel like we are at a point, And we have been at this point for a long time.
Yeah, we didn't just get here. Yeah, sorry. We're gonna have a little squeaky.
Dexy's gonna do a little squeaking.
Yeah, she needs to be. She's like, I gotta get involved. I gotta get involved in this.
Yeah, but I just wonder how many times we need to see the same shit. Whether it's attacking hospitals, attacking starving people, getting food off of trucks, or now attacking the aid workers driving those trucks before we fucking see the goddamn pattern.
Yeah. You know, there are no hospitals left. There are no, there's no aid left. There's no.
Yeah.
And also, if these are, you know, let's just pretend for a second. If these are accidents, maybe you're not very good at these.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, over and over again. Whoopsie.
Whoops.
At a certain point. One would think you would question your own tactics, but apparently that isn't how anything works.
I mean, it would certainly seem that most people, I don't know what most people think anymore, Dan.
Yeah, I don't know what most people think either. But I do know that fucking bombing aid workers is not really the way you defend yourself, last I checked, so... You know, there's that.
Yeah, we hate it. Yeah,
it's not great.
So,
it's not great.
Even though they're currently probably going to leave. It's still absolutely always worth donating to World Central Kitchen, and they may try to come back.
They've paused. So, I mean, one of the things is they literally have a boat off the coast of Gaza right now waiting to dock. Like, you know, the timing of this couldn't be worse in that way.
Okay.
Though some could kind of question the timing in general in terms of why, you know, because this boat was going to have more infrastructure for unloading boats and all of that. And now that boat is in a holding pattern because the whole organization is like, well, guess what? We can't have fucking seven people. And these were largely international. There were a couple of Palestinian folks, but an American, I have yet to hear a condemnation from fucking America about that. An
Australian woman.
Australia did come out and they pulled the Israeli ambassador and they were like, hey, we need to talk. I believe a Polish worker.
Yep. And a British guy.
And a British, you know. So, yeah, it's sort of infuriating.
Yeah, really, 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 really. Yeah, when that hit last night, when the news came out, it was just like. I mean, it's not like it's new or anything. It's not like it's really different. It's just like,
yeah,
there's just nothing.
And it's not like tens of thousands of people haven't been killed there.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah, sure.
I mean,
of course it's just some, you know, it's just all of it constantly. Yeah. And the goal is to make it so that no one sends aid.
Yeah. I mean, that sure seems like that's the goal,
you know, shootouts in hospitals and bombing every single hospital and, you know,
yeah. Yep. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Well,
yep. 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 Yep.
Let's change the subject to our own little corner of hell known as Florida.
Okay, great.
Yeah. A lot of real upbeat news this week, Maureen.
Is this going to be fun, Dan?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Where you might recall, we have had a few discussions about the state of Florida and how the Walt Disney Company and Ron DeSantis have been locked in battle for the last few years over Disney's very mild, very milquetoast complaints about the Don't Say Gay bill, which then had DeSantis change the way the area that surrounds Disney is governed. Disney sued them for political retribution, essentially, as well as before they had to relinquish control of their governing district, passing a whole bunch of restrictive covenants that essentially would allow them to continue to make decisions without the governing body and all of that. And there have been locked in lawsuits for years now. And years of Disney saying they have an easy winner of a case against DeSantis and an easy winner of a case against the what is now called the Central Florida Tourism District. Well, they've settled, Maureen. All of the lawsuits, of which there were many, are no longer. And without a doubt, the winner is not the Disney Company. All those restrictive covenants, those are no longer valid. Disney was pursuing a large lawsuit around public records, and all that has been dropped. The cases against DeSantis have been dropped. The whole thing has been dropped. What does Disney get out of this? Well, it should be noted that some of the most rabidly anti-Disney members of the board have stepped down. That was unrelated, theoretically, to the lawsuit and the settlement, but it sure seems like that's a part of it. But the real driving factor seems to be exactly what you would expect, which is capitalism. That Universal Studios is about to open an entirely new theme park in Orlando, and Disney needs to compete. So the driving decision-making seems to be that by settling, the two parties have already announced that they will work together on a long-term development plan. Getting that done was going to be pretty difficult if everyone was suing each other. So Disney blinked, which isn't a real shock, but still annoying.
Wow. Great.
Isn't it, though?
I was hoping for something better, Dan.
No.
What do you mean, no?
We could keep getting worse. That's the option.
I didn't
do that.
But no, not really. I would like to get give something upbeat. Like then someone saw a mouse with a hat.
I did see a video the other day of a.
Do you see how cute she's being right now? Just looking in the corner.
She's looking at you. Dexie's looking at you.
She's sitting there so primly too. She's like, "Hello, hello, Dan."
Very proper. Dexie's very proper.
She's a very proper girl.
That's what people say about Dexie. A very proper dog.
But go on, Dan. What were you saying? What kind of nonsense
were
you
saying? Just sticking around Florida for a minute.
Good.
The Florida Supreme Court has allowed a 6-week abortion ban to take effect in the state. They believe it to take effect in 30 days. Florida now joins all the other states in the South with essentially banning abortion.
I'm going to go. You know, that's a nice day for a walk.
Yeah. Sounds good. I remember when I wanted to just end the episode 20 minutes ago.
Damn. You're not helping.
According to the Washington Post, the closest clinic where abortion will now be legal after the 6-week mark for someone living in Florida's southernmost tip will be a 14-hour drive away in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Bye.
And that's only until the 12-week point, at which point they would need to drive all the way to Southern Virginia.
I'm gone now.
Yep, Maureen's gone.
I'm over here now. I'm gonna air fry.
All right. What are you air frying?
What do you want?
Like some wings?
You mean my veggie wings?
Sure.
You're making my dog bark with your bad news.
I think you're making the dog bark.
You're making my dog bark with your bad news.
It is pretty bad news.
Give me good news.
I will give you a tiny shred of good news. And that is that in addition to that bullshit ruling, the Florida Supreme Court has allowed a ballot initiative to go through for November that would amend the state constitution to include abortion rights in Florida. It is a constitutional amendment, so it requires 60% of voters. It's a pretty high bar for Florida. But it does seem that there is a sliver of hope there. Everywhere that abortion has been on the ballot, it's done pretty damn well. The idea that there will be a ballot initiative for abortion in a November presidential election seems like maybe that might help Democrats as well at the presidential level in a state that they haven't been able to win for quite a while now at the presidential level.
So there's
a little sliver of hope for you.
And, you know, certainly it seems like because this year has been whatever, like, because we've been saying how it's not been that bad except for all the really, really bad stuff, that the slow, it's like the election is a cartoon stick of dynamite with a 15-foot long fuse that's going.
Yeah.
Like that in the background.
Yeah.
You know, like it's going to be a complicated year that no one's jazzed about.
That's then, true.
In the car right here.
Yeah.
The guy who drives me is great. I know him very well. He was listening to an interview with Walter Isaacson, who wrote the book about Elon Musk. He's written a lot of very large biographies, but listening to this guy talk about Musk with a kind of admiration, like it wasn't like fanboying, but it was like, you know, he's such a like treating him like he's a visionary.
Yeah.
You know, because he's always thinking about the future and colonizing Mars. I'm like, yeah. Any sociopath can like talk about colonizing Mars if they want to. And, you know, like I had to listen to like an hour and 15 minutes of just Elon and what it was like to.
I would have rolled out of the car.
Well, that's why I was in on that. I had headphones in cleaning TikTok.
Okay.
This is how I ended up getting a steamer.
All right. Well, I mean,
so excited. It's going to be here tomorrow.
Well, that's fun. I'm excited for you.
I steam so much stuff.
What are you going to air fry? I don't have an air fryer. We don't have enough counter space for all of these things.
We don't really either. I have to kind of reorganize some stuff.
Yeah. We have an Instant Pot, and it literally takes up 2/3 of our entire counter.
I have to now, because this is bigger. This is a 2 inches or 3 inches bigger than my other convection oven, which means that all of my containers are spoons. Now no longer fits. I'm gonna have to move my spoons.
Okay.
My implements. But so that's upsetting. But at the same time, there's so much. I don't know if I'm gonna do first. If I'm gonna dehydrate or if I'm gonna air fry. And I think it's gonna be air fry. And I'm thinking I'm probably gonna do Brussels sprouts.
You gotta air fry first because the dehydrator is gonna take a while.
Yeah. Especially if you do like herbs or something. That's pretty like. That'll do it in a jiffy. I have a dehydrator. Yeah. Like I have an actual like multi-tier dehydrator, which now I'm going to donate because it's a real pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Because it's rare that, although if you want to do like an entire bushel of apples, like then you need the big dehydrator. But
yeah, who doesn't?
I've done it, Dan.
You've dehydrated an entire bushel of apples?
You have to really like, I have filled those trays over. Like
I have to really like some leathery chews.
They're great for cutting up and things like overnight oats.
Oh, that's true.
You know, you just put a couple dehydrated apple slices in there and then you put the little liquid in.
Yeah.
You've got yourself some overnight oats.
Can I tell you, because I just make you some nice
food. What?
Yesterday and the day before, I had such a bad earache that I was like, I am going to just put a ice pick into my fucking brain to end this. And I went to the doctor, and I now have medicine, and I don't have an earache as much anymore.
Still that's there. Great.
Oh. I know. It was exciting. Still there, but that's because, you know, medicine doesn't work wonders. But this is the thing that I wanted to tell you. So, and this gets only vaguely gross. If earwax grosses you out, then, you know, move aside for a moment. But anyway, so she was basically like, yeah, I think you might have a problem in your right ear. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's my fucking right ear. It literally hurts. Like there are moments where it feels like something is stabbing into my brain. And she was like, but I can't actually see the eardrum because there's some earwax in the way. So first thing we need to do is kind of clean out your ear. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, whatever. She's like, okay, well, I'm not going to do that. Like the tech is going to come in and do that. So the tech comes in. And the tech's like, hey, I'm the tech. I'm going to hose your ear out. And this is like Stevie. He's shadowing me.
Hi.
Yeah. And Stevie's like, hi. And then he gets, you know, like a spray bottle that you would like spritz your plants with.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes one of those out. He undoes the little topper and he starts filling it with, like, I think a little bit of hydrogen peroxide and then some water. And then he puts the topper back on, and the topper has a long tube coming off of it, right? And then he's like, okay, so we're going to spray this into your ear. And he's like, oh, but Stevie, first, why don't you go take a look at the ear so you can just see what we're dealing with? And he's like, it's the right ear. And so Stevie starts heading toward me with like the like little look in your ear thing. And the guy's like, yeah, it's the right ear. And Stevie is fully heading to the left of me, right? And the guy's like, yeah, you're going to want to look in his right ear. And Stevie's like, okay. And so then Stevie stands on my left side and is about to fucking stick the thing in my ear. And I'm like, yeah, actually, that ear's fine. It's the other ear. And then he sticks the fucking thing into my left ear. And he goes, I don't see anything wrong.
I think Stevie's got a bright future ahead of him.
Yeah. I was
that
like,
happened
that's
to
great.
Me once. Did they use the suction?
No. So they used this fucking thing where they, it's like the thing you spritz your thing, but he's just like, it was insane. Like
the I had
doctor
that.
Finally came back in and was like, how'd it go? And I was like, that was unpleasant.
They did that to me, except they do that with the solution and then they use a suction.
Yeah.
And that was amazing because something had happened that it basically had a, like some sort of seal in there.
Yeah.
And it was hurting and I couldn't hear. And it just happened. Yeah. And so they literally, it's like, it's the craziest sensation. It's like you're, it's like super airplane suction. It's like, ah!
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like you go, ah! And then you can hear. It's nuts. It's kind of fascinating.
So anyway, like, Stevie got a little bit sidelined after that.
If I had my steamer, I could fix that shit in no time. I would,
you could have just downside. Yeah,
cook in your face.
You know.
So if that's gonna be a problem for you,
yeah,
is that gonna be a problem for you?
Cook in my face?
Yeah.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Probably open up my pores.
Oh, it'll open up your pores.
Yeah.
They'll stay open too.
Yeah, I bet.
They will stay open.
That'll be nice. That'll be nice.
Open pores.
That's fine.
Open
pores. My face is looking like a pepperoni pizza.
Your face is looking like a melted candle.
Well, Dan, on that note.
Dan, we are headed. It's now, today is the 2nd of April. Tomorrow will be the 3rd. That's how numbers work.
That's how they work.
Just numbers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And pretty soon, coming up on the 15th.
Yeah.
Here in New York City, big day.
The Trump trial, numero uno.
Hope Hicks is apparently going to testify.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
So, yeah.
Yeah, Trump's first criminal trial. We are less than 2 weeks away now.
Your intrepid reporter
be happening.
Yeah, she's going to be you have a direct in through me, Maureen Johnson.
You should go to one of them. It's going to be going for 6 weeks. Go hang out.
Best top ticket in town. Everybody's going to be there. Everybody's going to be there.
Yeah, and you. Everybody and you.
Hot ticket.
You should do it. You should go on like a Monday and then report back on the Tuesday. We can do the whole episode about it. That's what
I'm says
saying.
Who knows? I'm Maureen Johnson.
Exactly.
I have a little press thing and a hat. Little says press. I got a little hat put in there. Press.
I love
Did
it.
They ever do that? Really have a little press thing in their hat?
Yeah, I think so. Why else would that be such a like a thing?
I don't know. I found out that slipping on banana peels is a real thing that they used to do in the old timey days.
Yeah.
They do slip and falls by carrying their own banana peels.
But here's my question about that.
Yeah.
Where were they getting the bananas?
Banana merchant.
The banana merchant.
Oh.
And the banana. I find that a little bit harder to believe.
Banana truck.
Okay.
Boat full of bananas.
All right.
Like banana tree.
What era are we talking about where people were slipping on banana peels all the time?
Early 1900s.
Okay.
All 1910s, right. 1920s kind of.
Just period. Watch out, banana peels.
Well, they would slip and fall on purpose and then like do like fake claims. And some of them would reuse the peels.
Against who?
The railway company.
The banana company?
No, like the railway company. Like you would make, it was like slip and fall kind of.
Okay.
Like slip and fall accidents, and they would, yeah, it was a whole industry, kind of a little mini industry of slip and falls.
Banana peels.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'll go with it. Sounds great.
It's pretty funny.
You think we could still do that? I wouldn't mind a slip and fall lawsuit real quick.
I think people still do that, Dan.
Still slip on a banana peel and then sue the railroad company?
Yep. And the railroad company man, he's sitting there in front of a big book like that looks like my daily planner, a big green book.
He's got that green
visor and he's got a big green. Oh, you slip and fall, see? All these slip and falls, they're killing the railroad. I've only got $1 billion. What am I going to put on my swimming pool? Water?
I like the idea that like there's just somebody from the Santa Fe Railroad that's like, fucking finally been trained on the banana slip and fall. The guy before me was trained on the banana slip and fall. The guy before him was trained on the banana slip and fall. We haven't had a banana slip and fall in 100 years, but finally.
It's here.
We've got one. He breaks a little banana shaped glass.
Boys, it's happening. Get in here.
There's a yellow light that goes off.
Boys, it's banana time. Yeah, boss. Yeah, boss. Yeah, it's happened. Bananas. Hey, it's a me. No, not you. This is we need the banana boys for this one. Okay, I'm a spicy meatball man. No, we'll call you later. We have something more underhanded. For this, I need my boys, my banana boys. There's Jim Bananas over there. Hey, Jim. You're Jim Bananas.
Hey, boss.
We got to catch these guys. We're going to catch these guys, see?
We'll catch them yellow-handed. Get it? Because the banana is yellow. Yeah. Jim Banana then takes his mask off and reveals, and in fact, he's a golden meatball.
I infiltrated you from next door.
You might have questioned my methods, but you don't have questioned my results.
Jim, you were just in this meeting. That's all right. That's the trick. That's how I get you. You don't think I just turn around and come back in again. You never left. We saw you standing in the doorway. You didn't actually go anywhere. You put on a second fake mustache.
Just on top of the other one.
Looks dumb. It's to the side. No one has cheek mustache.
Nobody that you know. Says who?
What is the code name Meatball theme song sound like? That's what I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
If you anyone wants to make the code name Meatball soundtrack, get in touch.
I think it's a real mashup between the James Bond theme and like
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
You know what my code number is? 000, because that's the finest type of pizza flour is the 000.
I'm a 00.
I'm a 00. That's the kind of a good flour.
Says who is made possible by you through
so
your support.
So this is your fault, not ours.
Exactly. Through your support of our Patreon at patreon.com/says who. Our Patreon, where you can do this all over again on a Sunday if you give it the $5 or $10 a month level. That $10 a month level also gets you a sticker in the mail because you become a member of the Says Who Sticker Club. That's all for you at patreon.com/says who. Our theme music is performed by Ted Leo. Our logo was designed by Darth. You can contact us at Says Who Podcast on Twitter. You can email at hey@sayswhopodcast.com. Join the discussion on Facebook at /group/SaysWhovians. Our Facebook group is moderated by Janice Dillard. You can also join the fan-run Discord server at tinyurl.com/sayswhodiscord. Whatever you do, though, spread the word, subscribe, leave stars and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever it is that you listen. And you can join us next week, April 10th, I feel like this year is going quicker than I would think. Anyway, for our very next episode. And back in my basement in Chicago, I am Dan Sinker.
Back in the best city of the world, baby. New York City. No notes. I'm Maureen Johnson.
And this has been Says Who. Why are you hissing?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm air frying. Air frying, baby.